Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Cool fact, a crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Also, you can get health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
So, nothing quirky for us this week?
I don't think so. I think I've run out. Oh, do you know... Wait, I've got something. Do you know the riddle of the Sphinx?
Oh, no, I don't know the riddle of the
Sphinx. Because I solved it. In English, we're reading Salman Rushdie's Midnight's Children. Don't read it. It's terrible. I hate it. It's all about, like, spirits and souls and stuff, and it's no good. That's not really what it's about. It's about Indian partition. And then we're comparing it to, like, Yeats poetry, and then they mention...
Have you got to read the whole thing, Midnight's Children? Or can you get a study notes or something?
No, you've kind of... Well, you can do that, but it doesn't make as much sense as if you've read the... I've finished it now.
Wow. Well done.
But then I kind of skimmed some bits, and so now I'll read in detail the bits that I'm going to write about. But maybe this was about Yeats poetry, which is the other half of the course. I don't know. Anyway, to pass the Sphinx, or to get into the place or something, I don't know, you have to solve this riddle, and no one could do it. So it's, what has four legs, then two legs, then three legs, then none?
A table?
What, how don't just say stuff.
What is it?
No, oh, it's actually, no, wait. Strike that.
Oh, well, you see, that's why I said a table, because it confused me.
What starts on four, then two, then three, then zero?
This is the life cycle of something or other. So it'll be the life cycle. I was thinking it was like a human being, because you crawl for a bit. Am I right?
Yeah, human, yeah, man.
So, but I was,
and that took like 50 years to, well, not 50 years, like forever to solve. Like, no one could do it, and then this one guy did it or something. But I thought that was quite easy.
Yeah. What's the three legs then?
Two legs that you're walking on, and then a walking stick.
We've solved the riddle of the Sphinx. I think we can go home now. This is entirely.
I don't know.
It's your call. Let's do it. Now, this is interesting, Ruth. On the way here... Well, it could be. Well, let's try. Should we try?
Okay.
Let's see if we get through to the end of it. On the way here, we pass a Marie Stopes Centre, which is... It's an abortion clinic, basically. And outside, there's always a little vigil. There's sometimes two or three people. Today, there was just one. And the person, he has a little sign up saying, "I'm here to help you choose life." So, basically, anti-abortion campaigners. And I thought, this bloke standing there... on his own, with his little note, "I'm here to help you choose life," and presumably he's got some leaflets, some Catholic leaflets, religion things, and he stands there, and I suspect that he gets mostly abuse. I'm not on his side of the argument at all, but I have a sort of sneaking admiration for that fact.
I think
that
it's ridiculous that you would even say you have an admiration.
Well, I have an admiration for his actual balls to stand there, knowing that all that's going to happen to him all day is he's going to get abuse. Nobody's going to say, "I'd like to discuss this with you." Nobody's going to discuss it.
No,
with
but
him,
it's
are they?
because it's not the place to do something like that. Like, women are coming there in a vulnerable position to seek help, and that is not the place. If someone's going to an abortion clinic, they've made up their mind. It's not a. I think that often when you get the people who are anti-abortion think that women just like choose to have abortions out of the blue, like you just wear, you know, you get pregnant and then you're like, right, well, I'll get an abortion, like it's not a really difficult decision.
No, and the implication that does sometimes happen, though. I mean, there will be cases.
Yeah,
of
but
that.
The vast majority,
yes,
will not be like that.
The vast majority,
and the
will
idea consider. That you'll be turning up at an abortion clinic and you've not thought about choosing life in quotation marks.
Well, that's also what I mean. It's like a hopeless cause.
No, but I know, but they're doing it to guilt people, to shame people. I think it's absolutely disgusting. I think to stand out in front of an abortion clinic, I'm not having a go at people for being against abortion, even though I think that it's ridiculous, but you can have whatever opinion on abortion you want, and I know that people have it for a religious reason, but standing outside of an abortion clinic is not the place to voice those concerns.
No, well, I tend to agree with all that, and I think he's completely wrong-headed. It's just that I have an admiration for the bloke himself who's standing there knowing that he's going to get abused, knowing that he's on the side of the argument that at that particular position that he's standing will be considered to be the wrong side of the argument.
Yeah, but no matter how much admiration you have for him being brave or whatever, he's wrong, and it's a bad thing to do to women.
But I couldn't help myself having this thinking, well, that guy's going to stand there all day. I
mean, it's quite a nice what day, is but... even a more difficult position to be in is going to get an abortion at a clinic.
Our good friend Caitlin Moran.
Caitlin.
Yeah, Caitlin. But a lot of people could say Caitlin.
It's Caitlin.
Yeah, I think
she said that name, usually spelled that way, would be Caitlin, but I say Caitlin, and my name is Caitlin.
What a movie that would be, My Name is Caitlin. Caitlin Moran has tweeted, yeah. Men of Twitter, what are the downsides of being a man?
Oh, I saw this.
Yeah, it was great. Some great...
it was funny.
Some funny ones. I couldn't find the funny ones. All I could find was the BBC on their news site... They reprinted this.
The BBC likes to suck the joy out of whatever they can.
They suck the joy out of this, I'll tell you. Men of Twitter, what are the downsides of being a man? We discuss the downsides of being a woman very frequently, but what's going on with you lovely guys? Says Caitlin Moran.
She's so funny, is Caitlin Moran.
She is funny. And then the answers that they've printed on the BBC website weren't that great. Phil Chan, a digital artist.
So here, listen to some of them.
So would you not want to hear them?
No, I do.
They weren't that funny. I mean, there were some very funny ones, but this is a sort of half-decent one. Jin Loudine from Edinburgh in Scotland revealed that her four-year-old son told her he doesn't want to be a dad when he grows up. Instead, he's excited to be a mummy. When Jin pointed out that most men don't become mothers, he became sad because... This is a quote from this precocious little four-year-old. Daddies have to work all the time. They never get to dance and nobody hugs them. Jin explained that she was shocked because her husband is very affectionate with his sons, but she presumes her son picked up the idea from nursery and television. His dad was devastated. He hugs him all the time and loves to dance. See, that's like me. I love to dance, but you always stop me.
Oh, my God, you're such a bad dancer. Yeah. Have you seen anything quite like it?
Yeah, well...
I don't know whether dance would be the right word. I don't know whether it fits into that. Should we talk some more about men and women?
Yeah, go on then.
And feminism and stuff? Man-sized tissues.
Oh, yes, this has been a big issue.
They're dropping the man. Are they dropping the man, or are they not
dropping
the man? I think
they're going to call them something else. Yeah, they're going to call them big tissues or something. I don't know.
What do you think about this?
I think it's pointless. I think there's, you know, man-sized tissues. I mean, you've been using man-sized tissues for years.
They're good.
But yeah, precisely. Has it ever bothered you for one moment?
No, but I do get it. Because, no, it doesn't bother you, but it's part of, like, a wider problem. Do you know what I mean?
What's the wider problem?
And also, the wider problem of man things being big and good and women things being little and dainty. Like, it perpetuates the stereotypes.
Apart from man-sized tissues, what other man things are big and good?
Yorkies.
But they just call Yorkies.
Yeah, but Yorkies, not for women. Not for girls or something.
That was an advert years ago.
No, it used to be on the packet.
Did it on the packet?
Yeah, he had one of those red things.
It was a slogan by the...
Maybe it was on the packet.
People. So Yorkies, not for girls. Which was a good thing, because Yorkies...
Yeah, but the implication was that our little lady mouths wouldn't be able to handle the chocolate.
Well, don't you like having a little lady mouth?
No, but that's not the point. I'm just saying that if people want man-sized tissues not to become man-sized tissues anymore, then it's not really that big of a deal.
No, it's not that big of a deal. Well, is anybody saying it is? Nobody's bothered.
Well, yeah, loads of men really kicked off about it, and so did women.
They probably kicked off about
loads of people kicked off about the idea that, oh, it's so stupid... Snowflakes, meh.
Well, it is pretty stupid, isn't it?
But it isn't stupid. Because it does... I get why people want them to be changed. I've got one more thing about women, if you want that now.
I do want that now.
How would you spell women?
I would spell it with an X in there somewhere. Mm. I've seen that. I don't know. What is that? Explain that. So what's it all about?
The Wellcome Collection, a museum and library in London, sent a tweet promoting an event using the word women with an X in replace of the E. And it led
so
to
WOMXN.
Yeah. And it led to Twitter backlash from hundreds of women and an apology from the organisation. So they decided to use the word to get away from like patriarchal language because women.
So the men at the end of it.
Women is just like a suffix, a prefix added to men.
Mm.
Like women are less than men because women are a product of men.
Yeah. Although when you look at it, men are at the end of the word, and women are at the
double. Yeah, but men have their own word. Women is a word that has just been made from the word men.
Ah, right, okay.
Dr. Clara Bradbury Rance, fellow at King's College London, said the spelling stems from a long-standing objection to the word woman as it comes from man. The word is also supposed to be inclusive of trans women and some non-binary people.
So that's what she said. So she's all in favour of the X.
No, I don't think she is. She was just explaining where it comes from.
I have a better idea. When magazines like Private Eye used to take the mickey out of feminists in the 70s, mm-hmm. they always used to call them women, spelled WIMMIN, women. And everybody understands that because it sounds the same as women and it also doesn't have the word men in it.
Mm.
It's just women.
So, well, anyway, and a lot of people were saying it's stupid and stuff, and it generally is stupid because you shouldn't be ashamed of being a woman. So there.
Oh, so there. So that's all on that one, really.
Well, what do you think about this spelling?
Well, I've given my answer. My answer is you spell it WIMMIN.
Well, that's the same as spelling it with an X. So you agree that it should be spelled a different way?
No, because you can't pronounce it with an X. Wumxen.
No, well, they said that most people would pronounce it Wimminks.
Wimminks, so you want the X at the end.
Well,
I mean, I don't mind them messing with gender and stuff, but I don't mind messing with spelling. It's ridiculous. Whereas women is now an established term because it was used satirically.
Heard of it.
Well, because you weren't alive in the 70s, but...
I think women is mocking the...
Well, it was mocking, but now it could. You might as well adopt it. In the same as gay people have adopted queer, which was originally abuse. And,
yeah.
And the way black people have adopted the N-word, spelt differently, but have adopted the N-word, which was originally abuse. Hey, I've come up with something proper here. Women could adopt...
I don't think you came up with this. This is called, naming it and claiming it.
No, I'm claiming that. I am absolutely claiming
this is not your idea to reclaim a term.
Absolutely claiming women, WIMMIN, as the new way of spelling women. So there.
If you're looking for plump lips that last, you need to know about Juvederm lip fillers. With Juvederm Volbella XC and Juvederm Ultra XC, your lip look, whether it's subtle or bold, can last up to 1 full year with optimal treatment and no additional maintenance. Find a licensed specialist and see if it's right for you at Juvederm.com today. That's Juvederm.com. Add fullness to lips in adults over 21 with Juvederm Volbella XC or Juvederm Ultra XC. Do not use if you have severe allergies or a history of severe allergic reactions, or if you're allergic to lidocaine or the proteins used in Juvederm. Tell your doctor if you have a history of scarring or taking medicines that decrease the body's immune response or that can prolong bleeding. Common side effects include injection site redness, swelling, pain, tenderness, firmness, lumps, bumps, bruising, discoloration, or itching. As with all fillers, there's a rare risk of unintentional injection into a blood vessel, which can cause vision abnormalities, blindness, stroke, temporary scabs, or scarring. For full, important safety information, visit Juvederm.com.
This Mother's Day, celebrate the extraordinary women in your life with a heartfelt gift from Blue Nile. Whether it's for your mom, a mother figure, or yourself as a mom, find that perfect piece to express your love and appreciation. Explore Blue Nile's exquisite pearls and mesmerizing gemstones that she's sure to love. Enjoy fast shipping options like guaranteed free shipping and returns. Make this Mother's Day unforgettable with a piece from Blue Nile. Right now, get up to 50% off at BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates like Sandra.
Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Let's talk music. Last week you had Loyal Kana doing a song called Ottolenghi.
Mm-hmm.
So I thought you might be interested in a bit of Ottolenghi news.
Yes.
Yes. He's Yotam Ottolenghi, as we know.
Mm-hmm.
He's from Jerusalem originally. He's credited with transforming sprouts into a chic delicacy. Yes, I know it's not going to work with you, but basically,
no, I don't mind sprouts.
He does recipes that are vegetarian, so he's got loads of vegetarians. But he's very much against this new trend to dress vegetables up as meat. So if you know you're going somewhere,
oh, like a roast chicken cauliflower thing.
That's right.
Yeah,
cauliflower steak you can get, and you can get those beetroot burgers. So that they're made, the beetroot juice is almost like the sort of blood dripping out of a burger.
Mm-hmm.
And he's against it. He's bemoaned the trend to create fake meat from vegetable mutations and products, quotes, grown in a lab. To take something as beautiful as a mushroom and mince it up and add things like beetroot juice to make it look like a burger. My God, he says, just go and have a burger. It's just so much effort. And the mushroom itself was so nice before. You've got to really ask yourself, why? What's the point? It's often something that's pretending to be meat, if you like. And you eat some.
I don't think it's pretending.
Things.
No one's...
Well, let's take the mushroom out of the... You don't agree with him?
Why is he complaining about that?
He's complaining because he says it's ridiculous. It's a lot of effort. Why not just eat a... You know, if you're going to be a vegetarian, eat vegetables.
What? That's ridiculous. But you are eating vegetables. That's so stupid.
Because you have these things like corn sausages.
Yeah, but that's different. That's not a vegetable doing anything else.
No, it's not.
That's so stupid.
Now, the other thing that last week when we were doing the music, I was talking about Graham Nash, I think, being born in 1942,
mm-hmm.
called him a war baby. And you said, is that a thing, a war baby?
Yeah, because I was saying that I think the term that you use, I believe that the term war baby exists, I wasn't saying that, but I think that the word you use to describe that generation is the silent generation.
Well, let's prove that War Baby exists, because this is, I did promise you last week I'd play you the song. There is a song called War Baby by Tom Robinson, and this is it.
Smooth skin and tenderness, long ago on a dark night. Wish I could see you once again, just to remember that it was true. I wanna be still beside you, quiet and still beside you, listening to your breathing and feeling your warmth again.
Well, that's one of those oldies that you never hear. 1983, War Baby, Tom Robinson. Do you want to know a bit about Tom Robinson?
Well, is this your song?
That's my song.
That's your song for
this
week?
That's my song for this week. Why not?
No, I was just because it wasn't like you didn't introduce it like, this is my song for this week.
Well, it was my song for this week. It is my song as well. But because I promised last week that I'd play War Baby. And
yeah, but I thought you were playing War Baby and then you were going to have another song.
No, I wouldn't do that.
No, that's what I thought.
If I have two songs, you go mad.
Yeah, if you had two songs and I only had one song, then yeah, I'd be annoyed.
Yeah.
That's fair.
Do you want to know a bit about Tom Robinson?
Yeah, go on then.
Well, he was in a band called Sex of 27 in the 1980s. The band broke up. He was bankrupt, technically, after the band broke up, and depressed. So he went to stay with a friend in Hamburg in Germany. And lived in Germany, Lint German for a while, started playing in Germany, including in East Berlin, and that was 7 years before the fall of the wall. He actually played in...
So, you know the wall?
The
Berlin wall.
Yes, I've heard of it.
They just built it. Like, how long did it take to build? Do you know what I mean?
Are you trying to get advice for Donald Trump here?
No, did they build it just in one day, or what?
No, it was put up in 1956, I believe. 56, yeah.
And so, what happened...
Well, initially...
What was around the wall?
Well, the wall split the sectors between East Germany and West Germany, because East Germany was part of the Soviet bloc. This is during the Cold War. And when they were first building the wall, lots of people did flood through from the east to the west.
Mm-hmm.
Nobody particularly wanted to go from the west to the east.
No.
But when the wall went up, and it didn't go up in a day, but it went up very, very, very quickly.
Yeah, because I've heard about like families being split in two because they were on opposite sides of the walls.
Precisely, they were. They were. And you can go and see it now in Berlin where, you know,
the wall was, yeah.
Where the wall was. So that's what happened. And he was working in East Germany before the wall came down, so the wall was still up.
So they let him go to the other side?
They let him go into the east. I mean, you could.
Were you allowed to do that?
You were allowed to go from the west to the east, going from the east to the west.
So what if you'd gone from the west to the east and then you wanted to get back from the east to the west? How did you get back from the east to the west?
I think once you had the correct papers. But don't forget, in 1956, I was a very, very, very tiny baby, so I have absolutely no idea how it worked. But I think if you had the correct papers and you'd gone from the west to the east, obviously those papers would be valid to go back from the east to the west. He describes writing the song while stoned after a bad experience at a gay sauna.
that sounds like it's kind of a weird fever dream.
Yeah, doesn't it? He wrote straight down the first bits of the song, which only the very young and the very beautiful can be so aloof. And he said it was mostly stream of consciousness stuff.
Only the very young and the very beautiful can be aloof.
That's what he said. Can be so aloof.
So aloof.
So aloof. I think he was referring to the people in the gay sauna. But
was he gay then?
Well, now, this is another interesting thing about Tom Robinson. Yes,
I'm just asking all the right questions.
Yes, he was gay, but he got married and had two children. But he still asked to be identified as gay rather than bi. He also
what? Why?
He said, "I'm a gay man who's in love with a woman." That's what he
said.
That
is so weird.
Well, you see, at the time, you thought that's it was a time before you had all the, you know, you could be gender fluid and all that. The term hadn't even been invented yet. Would you like to introduce your song?
Yes, my song is a song called "I'm Going to Tell You" by Barney Artist, featuring Jordan Rakai, who is the same person who Loyal Kana was featuring last week. This is the most famous song by Barney Artist, and it was released in 2016.
That's Barney Artist, which I'm guessing wasn't the name he was born with.
No, I don't know what the name he was born with was, but he doesn't have a Wikipedia page or anything, so I can't find out. He is 26 years old, and he's from East London, from Forest Gate.
Yeah.
That place?
Yes, it is, quite near West Ham.
And that is the closest thing to jazz I'm going to get, because he kind of fuses hip-hop with jazz.
Yeah, it's very nice.
It's kind of like very similar to the Loyal Kana, kind of like poetic hip-hop. Mm. Which I'm liking at the moment.
Yes,
so,
it's sort of smooth hip-hop.
Mm.
Sort of almost like dad-friendly hip-hop. Here's good news for womankind, Ruth. Chinese scientists have created healthy baby mice with two mothers. Did you see that?
This is good news. We can get rid of the men, at last!
And no father. Pushing back the barriers to same-sex reproduction in humans. Mice that had two fathers were also born, but survived for only a couple of days.
That's what happened.
Yeah. The work hinged on using genetic editing techniques to tackle genomic imprinting, a mechanism in mammals that means DNA must usually be present from a mother and father to create healthy offspring. But they've created it with two mothers.
Yeah, well, I think it was only a matter of time before they'll be able to do that, because a woman contains all the things that you need to make another person. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, we did this about this a bit in, like, school, or I read about it or something. Like, we contain the egg and we've got all the chromosomes. I think that you will be able to do it. I don't think it's a good idea.
Because you still need men for getting, you know, a jar of gherkins. That's like...
Oh, this is so... Oh, my God, this is the worst thing I've ever heard.
And who will you moan at if you've not got men? Whose fault will it be?
No, you know... No, oh, my God, this thing annoys me so much. People are always sharing stuff on Twitter that's like, in the 1800s, women were never right. In the 1900s, women fought for their rights. In 2000, women are always right. And it's so patronising, and I absolutely
that's
hate
so true.
It.
The thing about those...
Oh, my God, it's so not true that women...
Yeah, when everything goes... Because
it's just the thing that men say.
No, people say... maybe women have stopped saying it now, because it has become cliche, but the number of times I've heard over the years, yes, if women were in charge, we'd never get in this. There'd never be any wars if women were in charge.
Interesting, though, because Right, I've got two things to say here. First of all, imagine what the world would be like if half of the human race were utilised in the last 2,000 years. Do you know what I mean? The way that if women had always been allowed to speak and do things the way that they are now for the past 2,000 years, imagine the influence we would have had on technology and science and stuff. Number two, women are always called over-emotional, so we have to work really hard not to be emotional. And, like, did you see, you know, when Hillary Clinton was in, like, court or whatever, you know, when she going through her email?
The email
palaver thing. Yeah. I'm not saying I support Hillary Clinton in any way, but...
Well, we are saying this week, email palaver, not email pavlova, which was...
And she kept it together. She was absolutely calm and cool, because she had to be, because she knew that she would get massive backlash of, you know, because there's still all these people that, like, women are too emotional to lead countries, and women's, like, mood swings and hormones and menstrual cycles mean that they shouldn't be allowed to have positions of power because
I'm not saying that. All I'm saying is who's getting the grass off the...
But then did you see Brett Kavanaugh's, when he was testifying, almost crying, he was screaming, and the woman who testified against him, what was her name?
The woman was Dr. something, Blasey Ford, I think.
Blasey Ford? Yeah, and...
You're right, you're
right. You know what I mean?
Kavanaugh, what a wuss.
Yeah, true. No, and then Donald Trump was getting all het up, wasn't he? And women do generally have to keep their cool a lot better than men, and, like, you can even see it with Theresa May, like... That's probably why she gets called cold quite a lot, because her way of showing that she's not over-emotional is to be overly cold. Mm. And again, not saying I support her politics, but women do have a pressure when they're trying to be leaders.
No, I think women leaders are a great idea. I think Angela Merkel, I have great admiration for Angela Merkel. She's so German. I think the world probably, if women had not been suppressed for these years, would have been exactly the same. I don't think it'd be any different.
Do you not think so?
I think women are just as capable of war and all the other...
Oh, yeah. No, I don't think that. I do think that women are better communicators, though. And I think, well, not this, but if women and men had always been equal, then there wouldn't be the such toxic masculinity problems. And I do think that the idea of, like, macho...
Machismo
behaviour does have a part to play in war. And also the fact that in the olden days, we had so many people who just inherited positions of power, and still in, like, more so in American politics. I think the world would be the same if women were allowed to have the same positions, but were not actually equal with men. But if men and women were fully equal, then the world would be a very different place.
Let's look at some emails now, Ruth, and bad news for you with your French. You're going to have to learn different sorts of French, because Catherine, who's an old friend who's now lives in Switzerland, sent an email and said it probably won't come up in your A-levels, Ruth, but did you know there are some words in Swiss French that are completely different from the ones in France? Do you know what septante is in Swiss French?
Nope.
Septante is soixante-dix.
Wow.
Yeah.
I have another one of these. So my French conversation assistant, who I have like a 20-minute conversation slot every week, is from Dunkirk, and she speaks Flemish as well as French. Yeah. And one of the Flemish words that she was telling me about this week was mop. Like, they have a completely different word for mop, and they would never use the French word for mop in Dunkirk.
So people will speak French and then throw in the Flemish word for mop.
Yeah, but just like a ridiculous... Like, what a weird word to have a completely different word for.
Anyway, Catherine says, I can't stand Piers Morgan either, she says. I prefer BBC Breakfast.
Oh!
Yes, you may think it boring, but at least I don't get to start the day getting wound up by their
presenters. No, I like to get riled. Yeah. They rile me up in the morning, then I'm out.
Yeah, I'm with you on that. And we have somebody here, bless him, who's listening in Vietnam. He says...
Vietnam?
Yeah, Vietnam.
The war's still going on.
No, it's not. And you can say... Well, it definitely isn't, because he's in North Vietnam, not South Vietnam. He says, I've recently discovered your podcast. I'm loving listening. I currently live and work in Vietnam, but I have a teenage daughter back in the UK.
Aww.
He says, I often Skype my daughter and we talk about the usual, school, homework, etc. But your podcast has inspired me to extend our chats to something a bit more intellectual. And it helps to keep us both interested when the conversation's running out. He says, keep up the good work. And he's also been listening to me on overnight radio, on talk radio. he says, which is on it. So this actually fed into that. He listened to the podcast first and listened to me on talk radio.
Wow, that doesn't happen very often.
And it gives me the chance to say, good morning, Vietnam, which you won't know, it's in our film with Robin Williams. Now, if you do want to get in touch with us, we'd love to hear from you. It's martinandruthpodcast@gmail.com.
And, because we didn't mention it earlier, if you want to hear the songs in full, then you can go over to Spotify and search Martin and Ruth, and that'll go to our profile, or just Ruthie, me and my dad, and that'll take you straight to the playlist with all the songs from all the weeks.
You're doing history at school, aren't you?
Indeed.
Would you say it's too white? This is a claim from academics who've begun a campaign to make history less white and less Eurocentric in schools and universities. What's your view? It's the Royal Historical Society.
Yeah, I think it definitely is. And the idea and kind of any other different cultures are then just taught as like savage. Although I did do about the American West when I was at high school, and we did learn all about like Native Americans and stuff. But yeah, it definitely is. But then also there's a lot, most people just have better knowledge of a lot of white history. So then also, like I'm studying Russia, there wasn't really any people who weren't white, but then there's never any modules about like African history or Oriental history or anything like that. So yeah, I think it is, but I don't know enough about anything. I don't know enough about history to be able to...
Do you realise that when our colleague Matt puts this podcast online, he likes to take out a little quote and put it on the feed? And the quote he might take out this week is where you said, I don't know much about anything, which is what you just said.
I don't think I know enough about anything.
I don't know enough about anything, yeah.
I know much about some stuff.
West Wing, Grey's Anatomy. I test you on any of those on Mastermind.
I've not even finished Grey's Anatomy.
You've not finished it yet?
Well, no.
How many episodes of that did you make?
There's 14 seasons.
Yeah. What I was going to say about history is the problem is history is written by the winners. You know, so obviously when you learn about Russia, it is all very, very white. But I'm assuming that, you know, when you look at the Russian population now, there must have been lots of people. There's quite a big Muslim community in Russia. There's quite a...
We do sort of talk about that, and we talk about like all the pogroms and stuff. And I guess that's kind of as not white history. I don't know.
Lots of Jews in Russia.
Yeah, but, and we do talk about kind of ethnic cleansing that went on in Russia. But we generally are examining like Lenin and Stalin's actions, so then it's naturally going to be more white and more men. But there's never any options for modules which are about African history or...
And of course you haven't done that much time. Somebody from Buckingham University, which I think is a private university, said it's important to all young people to study history, but it's also important that in the limited time available, the most important features are imparted. Mm. Content should be decided on that basis, not the need to emphasise diversity.
Yeah, but how do you decide what's important?
Well, I suppose shifts in, you know, great national, international shifts and things, which because
I think like the partition of India, it's absolutely massive shift. It's just not important to the countries where history is more widely taught. Do you know what I mean? The countries where there are like these big institutional universities and stuff, and not the countries where there is a lot of not white.
This country, I should think. So, I mean, I know you're learning about Russia, but in this country, I think partition will be a major part of the syllabus, I would have thought, at some point.
I don't know.
It should be, because as far as the British Empire is concerned, it was a huge shift, you know, massive shift, seismic. And when you consider what's happened since, you know, in terms of race relations and stuff, I mean, you could learn about partition, and it would actually give you a picture of our society in the 50s, you know, as much as anything else. Britain was divesting itself of empire at that point. And also you had, you know, the questions of racism and all sorts of questions would arise.
Yeah, but I also think I've heard some people talk about, I don't know enough about this to properly explain what the argument was, but a lot of people talk about in America how after segregation there was people like Martin Luther King and Rosa Parks who were fighting for that. You only learn about the same characters year upon year. You just learn about the Martin Luther King, the Rosa Parks. It's not very wide. And you get this with like Florence Nightingale and Mary Seacole. Mary Seacole had a massive impact, but you don't learn about it as much as Florence Nightingale.
I think you do now, though, don't
but
you?
But you there's don't. Mary... No, you still don't, because there's a lot more information about Florence Nightingale.
See,
because
she's
a respected
of,
woman.
I'd never heard of Mary Seacole. Never. That was not... And I can guarantee you that anybody who learned history in the 60s, 70s, 80s wouldn't had no idea who Mary Seacole was. But these days, Mary Seacole's more or less front and centre.
I want to tell you about these Instagram accounts that post just one picture, and it's the same picture every single day. So the picture can be anything, from a stock photo of a gherkin to a cutout of Danny DeVito's face. There are some accounts featuring a shirtless Gibby from the sitcom iCarly, a Supreme Brick.
Why is that a shirtless Gibby from...
Gibby was a character from iCarly. It was like a Nickelodeon kids show.
Wow. Did you watch it? I've never even heard of iCarly.
A little bit. I wasn't really a Nickelodeon kid. I was more of a CBBC kid, because we didn't have, when I was, we only got like Sky when I was like 11 or 12 or something.
No, I think we had Sky from almost
when we was, didn't we because we had it when I was really little, and then we didn't have it, and then we just had CBBC, because I never used to watch Nickelodeon. So I feel like I maybe just missed out on that, and then I was
How
back
you
into
it?
Like I, like, a lowercase I, then Carly, C-A-R-L-Y. Oh. She made, like, an internet vlog series thing.
Oh.
It's good. A Supreme Brick, a person falling, a red croc, a pink croc, a dog called Kevin, and a lone chicken nugget. And they just post the same pictures every single day, and it's very funny. And then they said, I was reading this article about it and stuff, and there was, like, that equivocation between mesmeric boredom and elusive amusement seems key to the whole phenomenon.
So they're doing it deliberately. This is like a phenomenon.
Yeah, yeah. They just do it. And there was one account that like posted a picture, and then they posted one picture the next day, and they were like, guys, I think I'm going to have to stop now. It's just too hard. So they just post like two pictures.
So in a way, it's a sort of reaction against the people who are posting different stuff.
Because, I think it's the idea that like, there has to be something new all the time. People are constantly creating content, and everything's so quick, and the idea that something is just the same every day and you don't even have to think about it is like,
it's funny.
The paradigm.
Well, paradigm, that's a good word to throw into the mix. And you're looking up a meme as far as I can see. So this is the meme of the week.
This is another like dad joke pun thing. I was home for Christmas and my parents cooked a beef tenderloin. I said, man, Budapest is going to love this. They asked who Budapest was. I said, I named my stomach Budapest because it's the capital of Hungary. And that's when they stopped calling me son.
Very good, I like it. Just let's remind people of where they can get this. You can download it, obviously, from, well, you'll be listening to it now. But do rate us, review us, subscribe, either on iTunes, Acast, wherever, your favourite podcast provider. If you want to send us an email, it's martinandruthpodcast@gmail.com. And Spotify details again?
It's Martin and Ruth, or Ruthie, me and my dad.
And if you're on Spotify, you can get pretty well, ever since we've been doing the music, full versions of all the songs that we've played.
So thank you for listening and goodbye.
Planning for your next trip? Elevate your travel style with Quince. Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And is all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free, or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.